Today's shiur is beginning from the bottom of Yud Aleph Yud Beis, about 5 lines from the bottom. It will be recommended to open your Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations written by Rav Chaim Porush on Maseches Bava Basra, illustration 181. We're going to see a quote from Gemara that we did last time. There are arrows on the side of your Gemara indicating where the quote comes from. Hoya sosum. There's Omar Mar, a term that refers to a quote from something that had been mentioned before. Hoya sosum uvikesh leposcho. There had been a house that had a door opening onto a mavui, and the door had been sealed shut, and he wants to open up the door and join that mavui. Ein b'nei mavui ma'akfin olav. They cannot protest his intent. In other words, he can open up and join the new mavui. Omar Rava, lo shanu elo shelo poratz es ptimov. This halacha that the B'nai Mavui cannot object to his joining them, that's provided that he didn't, when sealing up the door, he left the doorposts in place and simply bricked up the doorway. And that you can see illustrated in diagram 181, the middle section of that picture. Avoporatz es ptimov. If in closing up that door he removed the door frame as well, Bene Movui Ma'akvin Olov, they can protest. What we'll do is we'll look in Rashi at the bottom. Shalo Poras es Poras Ptimov. Kishinistam Pisa, when he originally sealed up the door, Lo Salak Mezuzoso, he didn't remove the side posts, Umashkoif, Umifton, the upper part of the door and the threshold. The Goli Daite, the Lo Silek Nafshe, he revealed his intent not to remove himself from membership in this Movui, in this alleyway. The Soifoi, the Poischoi, Lachar's Man, showing his intent that he's going to open it up, open that doorway in the future. However, if he removed all of the elements of the doorframe and bricked up the whole thing, leaving no trace of an original doorway, that's a different story. We have a Tanaic source at the top, and in the Shas Ozer edition, Tanaic sources are framed. There are 2 points concerning houses that are sealed up. Bayis Sosum, Yesh Lo Dalet Amos, a house that opens to a chotzer, and they have blocked up the doorway. The owner still gets his 4 amas that we discussed on previous occasions. He gets the 4 amas entitled to doorways in the chotzer. However, Poratz es Ptimov, if he removed all traces of the doorway by removing the side posts and the rest of the frame, Ein lo dalet amas, and he's no longer entitled to those 4 amas. Number 2, Bayis Sosum, a sealed house with a dead body inside. Eino metame kol svivov. This is illustrated in diagram 184. You see a house with a indication that there's a body inside. The din of a grave in general, midrabonon, is metame 4 amas all around it. And the reason for that is to keep people away, especially those who are involved with the trumas and taros and things that have to remain tohor. We don't want them to overshadow. So we impose an additional fence, if you will, halachic fence, and say, stay away 4 amas. And if you encroach within 4 amas, midrabonan, tumah is imposed. A bayis sosum that has a body in it remains
the din of a house and then doesn't take on the din of a kever. And as a result, and Rashi points this out, the tumah that comes forth from the house would only be keneged the doorway. That if someone is standing in the doorway of the house and opposite the doorway, there is tumah. And that Rashi points out on the second line from the top, Eino metames svivov, elo keneged ha-pesach im meis pesocho. Keneged the doorway, there would be tumah, but not all around the house. However, poratz es ptzimov, if he removed all traces of the doorway, as is illustrated in 185, then metame kol svivov, then the house would take on the din of a kever, and as such, the area around the entire house, four amos, would be metama. We have a new point, as is indicated by the slash in the Gemara, in the Shas Ozer edition, and we have a double underlining marking indicating a type of series, something that's going to appear a couple times. On the outside of the Gemara margin, you see the Mivneh. The double underline points out Shnei halochas akshurois lemivuois amufuloshois. Two halochas referring to open-ended alleyways. We'll be looking at diagram 190 as we proceed in the Gemara. Omar Rabo Bar Rochana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mevuois Hamufuloshois Le'ira Cheres. There's a town that has houses set up along alleyways, and the alleyways are open-ended so that you could be in town, cut through the alleyway, and get to the main road. That's a Mevu Hamufulosh, open-ended, from town, cut straight through and get to the road, and that road leads to another town, as you can see in the diagram. Ubikshu b'nei ho'ir l'soismon. Members of the city that had the alleyways in it wanted to seal up a couple of those alleyways, blocking the entrance from the main road into the alley. And that's indicated in the diagram. The little aleph letters are positioned opposite where the ceiling of those mevuos would be. B'nei oiso ha'ir me'akvin alein. One has to be careful with the translation here. The members of the other city, oiso ha'ir means the other city, they can protest this. We'll take a look at Rashi to explain why. B'nei oisoir ho'acheres, Rashi says, me'akvin alehen, shekvar huchsuku lekatzer darkon, derech oison hamavuos. When they're trying to get from their city, the faraway town, into this particular city, to follow the diagram, they're going from the left-hand city into the right-hand city. In order to get there, they were regulars in cutting through those first alleyways, the alleyways closest to their town, to get into the left-hand city. Continuing in the Gemara, V'lo mibayo kileko darko achrino demakvi. The halacha we just said that the other city can protest, that is, it's obvious, I don't have to tell you that, if there's no other entrance into the town that they're trying to get to, if there's no other entrance, so obviously the right-hand town cannot block off the entrance to their city. Elo afilu kiika darko achrino nami, even if there's an alternative route into their town that remains open, me'akvi, the members of the faraway town can protest, mishum d'Rav Yehuda Marav, based on his teaching. The Omer of Yehuda Marav, Meitzar shichziku boi rabin osur lekalkalo, a path that the public has grown accustomed to using, one cannot impose any distortions, can't change it. So as in our case, even though on the right-hand city diagram you see a base, which would indicate they have another way into town, nevertheless, they cannot, the members of that right-hand town cannot block off existing entrances that had been used by the public from the other town. By that halacha of Rav Yudah Marav, Meitzah Shikzibu Ravim, Osur L'Talkalo. Omar Rav Onan, Omar Shmuel. We'll be looking at diagram 191. Mevuos HaMefuloshin L'Rishus HaRavim. You have alleyways that open into Rishus HaRavim. Ubikshu b'nei mevuos lahamid lohen vlosos. And members of that mavui wanted to put a type of a doorway, a gate, if you will, inside their mavui. Let's assume that they would have a key to the gate, so the members of the mavui would be able to get in and out from that location. B'nei Rishus HaRabim Akvin Aleihem. The members of the public can impose their desire not to have that door constructed. Sovor Mino, at first glance, Hani Mili, that this halacha, the B'nei Rishus HaRabim, can be ma'akev, can impose their resistance. That's Hani Mili, B'dalad Amos. That refers to the first four amas off the Rishus HaRabim into the Mavui, that only there can they impose their will not to have those doors. Kidder Rabbi Zeirom of Nachman, based on his teaching, the Amar Rabbi Zeirom of Nachman, Arba Amos Asmuchas L'Rishus HaRabim, Ki Rishus HaRabim Damyon. There's a rule. The truth is that this rule is found in the context of Tuma in Rishus HaRabim. There's a halacha that if there's sofek tuma in Rishus HaRabim, there's a matter of doubt whether there is tuma in a particular place, and that particular spot happens to be Rishus HaRabim. So the person who has that doubt is considered, has the status of tohor, sofek tuma Rishus HaRabim tohor. What are the bounds of Rishus HaRabim? So this halacha states that the Rishus HaRabim is not only the Rishus HaRabim proper, but also four amas adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim, as in this case, as is illustrated in diagram 191, four amas off the Rishus HaRabim into the Mavui, also has a din of Rishus HaRabim. That having been said, so the idea that the B'nai Rishus HaRabim, the members of the public, can impose their objection to having doors put, one might have thought, where can they object? Only up till four amas in, because that retains a din of Rishus HaRabim. However, the Gemara goes on, Velohi, what we just said is not accurate. Hasam linyan tuma. Everything we said would be accurate. That's regarding matters of tuma and doubts concerning that topic. Sofek tuma Rishus HaRabim. Avol hocha. But as far as erecting doors even further into the Mavui, they would be forbidden to erect the doors. Zimnin dedachki b'nei Rishus HaRabim v'ayli tuva. Sometimes the b'nei Rishus HaRabim, there's overflow, and they encroach onto the Mavui further in. And the doors would upset them, and would be limiting their amount of space. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a series of diamonds, and to appreciate their role, we'll take a look at what we noted on the side, the Nosei Mivneh. Geometric forms in the Shas Ozer indicate a series, and we've said in the past, in addition to the geometric forms, also the double underline has the same role. What is being emphasized here? So the note says, Devorim Shel Shutfin, property that's jointly owned, the shi'uran ha'ro'ui lechalukah, and the dimensions that are necessary in order for division to take place. In the course of the discussion, there's going to be reference made to what is the expected dimension with regard to Bovel as opposed to Eretz Yisrael. When learning the Mishnah, one can assume that the Mishnah is referring to matters of Eretz Yisrael. What would the halacha be in Bovel? And there, as we'll see in the Gemara, there are different considerations based on different regions. The markings have highlighted with this diagonal slashed underline, you'll see the question repeated in different contexts, Bevovel Mai. And as you scan down the page, you'll notice that marking. In the Gemara, Velo es asode, the Mishnah indicated that a soda is not to be divided, Ad shie bo tisho kabin moze, v'tisho kabin moze. And Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Ad shie bo tisho chatzoi kabin. The Gemara points out that there is no machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. There's no machlokes in principle. Velo pligi, marki asrei u marki asrei. Each opinion follows what's considered a significant portion in his own town. So the Tanakama in his community, the Tanakama, they had viewed a Tisha's Kabin area as significant, whereas in Rabuda's area, even 9 half Kabin would be considered significant. Hence, if each party would receive that amount after division, they can divide. There can be a forced division. The Gemara continues, Bebovel Mai, Omar of Yosef, Bei Redu Yuma. In Bovel, the division is based on the amount that is plowed in one day. The amount that it would take a day to plow, if each party after dividing would receive such amount, then one can force the division to take place. The underlying consideration in we'll call work effort as being the decider of how division should take place is based on the fact that people hired workers and paid them on a daily basis. So if the portion I get is such that I'll be able to occupy the worker for a full day, then that's a legitimate portion. If, however, the portion that would be divided and hence received by each party would be such that it would be too small an area for a worker to occupy himself a full day, in other words, he could get the job done in half a day, so then I'm going to end up paying a guy for a full day's of work and only getting a half day work worth of expenditure in his efforts. That would be an unequitable distribution, an unfair way to force division. So what was just said by Rav Yosef is that the amount of field that each one would receive would be the amount that could be plowed in one day. However, plowing itself is a matter of seasonal concern. In other words, different seasons have different levels of plowing difficulty. The Gemara points this out and asks, "My bay redu yuma, what's the standard of a day's worth of plowing based on? E yuma zara, if you're talking about during the planting season, that the portion I get is an amount that it would take one day to plow during planting season. There's a problem with that. Tre yoima karbo lo have. That amount during the plowing season. There was a time at which they was official plowing season that was before the planting, to soften up the ground, make it ready for the planting season down the road. However, the amount that it would take one day to plow during planting season would be an amount that it would take when the ground is harder, less than 2 full days of work. So if we think about that, that area is going to be divided. Let's say each party would get that amount, would get the amount to plow that would take one day to plow during planting season. What's going to happen during the plowing season? I'm going to hire a worker, and it's going to take him how much time to plow during the plowing season? It'll take him 1.5 days, because the ground is harder. But how much am I going to have to pay him? 2 days of work. That's unfortunate. But I have to pay out of pocket 2 days of work, and I'm only going to get a day and a half worth of work effort. Continuing in the Gemara, maybe what was intended by Rav Yosef when he said Beiradu Yuma, maybe it was 1 day of plowing during the plowing season. So the Gemara goes on, E Yoima Karba, if his halacha was 1 day of plowing during plowing season, how much time is it going to take to plow that same area during the planting season when the ground is in fact much softer? Yoima Dezara Lohati, it's going to come out to be less than one full day of work during the planting season. And once again, the same discomfort arises as far as we're concerned, that I'm going to be paying out of pocket for a full day's worth of work during the planting season and only getting a half a day's worth of effort. In order to solve the problem, the Gemara offers two solutions. E boyes emo yoimo dekarbo, that the 1 day of plowing that Rav Yosef referred to was 1 day during plowing season. The Korev Vitoni. He plows and does it again. Before we go any further, the way to explain this Gemara is actually the subject of a couple of the Shonos found in Rashi. So what we'll do is we'll first read through the Rashi. He'll serve as explanation of the Gemara, and then we'll read the Gemara inside again. So we're choosing for our shir the Rashi in the Lishna Achrina. There's a Roman number 2, more than halfway down your Rashi page. Lishna Achrina Ibcho Garsinon. E boyes emo yoma tekarbo, and that's the girsa that we have as well. That the solution is it's 1 day of plowing season. Udekashiloch yoma dezara lohave, and then you'll ask, but if that's the case when it comes to the planting season, it's not going to come out to a full day of work, and I'll have to pay a full day's worth of work. So the Rashi explains the Gemara. Be'asra dekorev v'toni b'sh'as hazera. In that location, they do a double plowing during the planting season. So if it's 1 day worth of plowing when the ground is hard during the plowing season, when the ground is soft during the planting season, what they did was they did a double plowing, and we'll explain why, but that double plowing would in fact then take a full day. What's the double plowing for? Rashi explains, achas koidim lizriya, the achas la'achar hazriya, l'chasos hazroyim. They would plow up the ground initially, making room for the seeds to be inserted, and then after the seeds were inserted, they would run the plow over again, thereby covering the seeds with earth. Continuing in the Rashi, the Iboy Seimo, what Rashi's doing is explaining the second teretz of the Gemara. What is that 1 day that Rav Yosef was referring to? Yuma Zara, 1 day during planting season. Udeko Amris Tre Yoima Karba Lohavi. And then you would have raised the objection, but it's less than 2 full days during the plowing season, but I'm going to have to pay out 2 full days worth of work. No, we get around that problem with the following. Behaduri Askinan. The expression Haduri is Rashi above explained it. There's a little asterisk above in the Rashi in the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition that for many of you appears on your screen. Rashi there explains Bahaduri Askin, and he said by the asterisk is Sheretz Koshe. It's a hard, very hard ground. Yeshbo Ma'alois Umarodos, it's also hilly, as a hilly ground. Yesh Torach B'Shasa Zera K'Shasa Nir. So, using that definition in Rashi right now, the point at which we left off, I'm going to continue under the Iboyes Emo, the double underlined expression in the Rashi, the line under that, in the middle, Bahaduri Askinan, Shiesh Torach Godol Bish'as Hanir. As we saw, it's very difficult during plowing season to plant that, to plow that up. V'yoyma Zara
If the division of the land is based on one day, the one day standard during planting season, how long is it going to take to plow up haduri during plowing season? There, it's havitreyoy makarbo. There it will be 2 full days. 2 full days during the plowing season on hard ground. And Rashi comments, Veloshon Zehogun, he likes this particular version, and in fact it's the version we have in our Gemara. So we'll look back in the Gemara to read for the sake of completion, relying on the extensive explanation that Rashi just offered. The Gemara had said, one, Iboy Yaseima Yuma de Karba, that the one day that Rav Yosef had mentioned would be the amount for that each party would receive after division. It was one day of plowing during the plowing season. The Korv Vitoni, that would be, they would do a double plowing, but, and you have to note over here, during the planting season. That's the Korv Vitoni during the planting season. Because it's not clear from the Gemara that that's referring to the other season. The Iboyasema Yuma de Zara, the one day standard that Rav Yosef referred to would be one day during the planting season. And what would be then during the plowing season? No problem, the Haduri, that was with the tough earth that would require 2 full days during the plowing season. Hence, no extra money spent on workers. Davlo. The Gemara now is referring to a well or a pit that water was drawn from for the sake of irrigating or watering one's field. This pit of water is held by two. They want to divide the pit. Omar Rav Nachman Bei Dolu Yuma. To explain this, we'll look at Rashi. Further down, Bei Dolu Yuma, Ad Shie Bo Kidei Lahashkois Sode, Kidei Pu'ulas Yoim Loze, Ukidei Pu'ulas Yoim Loze, Mishum Schar Poyel. The same consideration we had before concerning worker expenditure, how much you have to spend on workers. There should be enough water in this pit that when divided, each party would have enough water for a day's worth of watering. And when I hire the worker to water, there would be enough water in there that it would take him a day to use up the water to plow, to plant, water the field. Another area of division. As you can see, it's the third diamond we have, and we indicated that these were series of items or pieces of property owned jointly. What is the amount that has to be received by each party after division? Pardesa, a vineyard. Omar Avua de Shmuel, Bas Shloishes Kavin. That each party would receive that amount, 3 kav area. Tanya Nami Hochi, Omer Lechavero, Menas Bekerem Ani Mocherloch. If someone claims he's going to sell to his friend a portion of a kerem, Sumchus Omer Lo Yivchois Migimol Kavin. Sumchus is of the opinion that when he's selling this area, this portion of the kerem, he shouldn't sell less than 3 kav. That's considered the minimum area of significance. Amar Rav Yosi, Ein Elu Elo Divrei Nevius. These are words, namely Sumchus's ruling is something stated without reason, without any tam, as Rashi says. The Gemara asks, the Bovel Mai, what about the division of a pardes in Bovel, a kerem? Omar Rovo Bar Kisno, Tlas Atsioso. Diagram 198 illustrates this very efficiently. B'nei Tresar Gufni. There are 3 groupings, each grouping having in it 12 vines. Why is that?
Ki hechi de rofik gavro v'yuma. It's the area that rofik is to turn over the soil. The amount that it would take a worker a full day to turn over the soil. And similar to the considerations we had before, that division of agricultural property should be such that when I have to hire workers to work the area, whether it be a matter of plowing, of watering, of turning over soil, aerating, it should be an area that it would take a worker a full day, and hence I would be wasting my money on him doing it in less time and paying for a full day. The Gemara had mentioned I brought a Tanaic source with Rav Yossi's comment regarding Sumchas, just two lines up. We said, Ein Eilu Elo Divrei Nevius. It's characteristic of the Gemara. Sometimes one word is a tip-off to get into a new topic. It has nothing to do with the general area of property division, which is our sukya, but that's the way the Shas is. It's a very dynamic work. It's nothing like anything else we have. It's the bedrock of Judaism. And to be truly involved with Judaism and the Jewish experience, one cannot say he's had it until he's learned through all of Shas. Of course, there's much more to the world of learning, but that's certainly the minimum beginning. All of Shas. The nature of the Shas is such that it keeps you awake in the sense that you're involved with one topic and all of a sudden it springs a surprise on you. And that's what we're about to experience over here. Since he used the term Nevius, he used it in a colloquial sense that it's something that has no reason. The Gemara now is going to get into a topic of concerning actual Nevius. Before we go on, we notice there's a plethora of markings, and let's try to take advantage of them as by way of introduction. First, we have noted on the side the house form are Memros Shel Rav Avdimi Demin Chaifa. So you see number one here. Where there's a one, there's got to be a two. And as your eye scans the Omid, your eye will not find a number two. So that makes us flex those arm muscles and or scroll on your screen. For those who are learning from the screen, to go to number two, which is found. Where is the next house form found? And you notice about halfway down the Omid. And that's accomplished by your ability to scan the pages, and that's what the Shas Ozer Gemara marking system insists upon, that you have the ability to scan the page to find the next similar marking. So Rav Avdimi Demin Chaifa appears here, and he'll make another comment on Amud Beis. Further by way of markings, we have under that, the next line, this next geometric form, and we'll look at the side of the Gemara, the Nosei Mivneh. This form contains the expression Miyoin Shechora Beis HaMikdash, etc. That something describing the time after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and we noted Memros Be'inyan Nevuah Bizman Hazeh Achar HaChorban. Comments made concerning prophecy nowadays after the Chorban. The first one, and we have noted that on the side as well, the number one inside that geometric form, Lo Nitlo Min HaChachomim. The Gemara will discuss the fact that the power of prophecy, even though the temple has been destroyed, has not been removed from the sages, from the Talmidei Chachomim. The Gemara then is saying that Bizman Hazeh means Bizman after the Chorban, Talmidei Chachomim may possess, you can't say it as a hard fast rule that every Talmid Chacham has this, maybe yes, maybe no, but it's a possibility. Let's take a look inside the Gemara.
Omar Rav Avdimi Demin Chayfa Miyoyim Shecharav Beis HaMikdash. We see a brackets now. We're going to initially skip the brackets for the sake of smooth reading. Afal pi shenitla min hanaviim, even though nevuah was removed from the neviim, min hachachomim lo nitla, from the talmidei chachomim, nevuah was not removed. The reason we did this skip, and this is one of the main features of the marking system, and as is found in the Shas Ozer edition, the matters contained in the brackets are either side points or they're sections that require linguistic reconstruction. That the language or the comment made therein is not entirely accurate, and the Gemara inside the brackets raises this issue. So let's go over the Gemara, this time reading the section in the brackets. The comment had made that from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, nitla nevuah min hanaviim v'nitna lachachomim. Nevuah was removed from the neviim and given to the chachomim. Let's take a look at Rashi. Right under the Gemara, nitla nevuah mishum di omar leliel, because the comment had been made before, ein elo divrei neviyus, shekora divrei chachomim nevuah, because a comment made by Chachomim was referred to by the term Nevuah, Nokat Lo Laha Milsa. That's why the Gemara now is discussing issues of Nevuah. The Gemara continues within the brackets. If you said that Nevuah was removed from the Nevi'im and given to the Chachomim, it leaves you with the feeling, Otu Chachom Lav Novihu. Are you suggesting that a Chachom is not a Novi? It's given from the Nevi'im to the Chachamim. It means that the Chacham is not a Novi. They're two separate categories. There is Nevi'im and Chachamim. And that's not true. The Gemara says, to read it more accurately, to understand this more accurately, Hachi Ko'omar, Afal pi shenitla min ha-Nevi'im, even though Nevuah was removed from those who were known as Nevi'im, min ha-chachomim lo nitla. It wasn't removed from the chachomim, giving us the feeling that those chachomim had been themselves nevi'im, and those nevi'im who were chachomim, the nevuah was not removed from them. As opposed to the way we initially might have thought by the comment made in the brackets, that they were two distinct groups, nevi'im as one and chachomim as another. And here we're saying no, that there was a group of people known as Nevi'im. There was another group known as Nevi'im who happened to also be Chachomim. So from that latter group, Nevuah wasn't removed. Omar Ameimar, the Chacham Odif Minavi. That a Chacham is considered greater than, or more than, a Novi. Based on what is this said? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'Novi Levav Chachma. That's the pasuk, that the Novi has the heart of a Chacham. The Novi is being compared to a Chacham. Mi nitle v'mi, heve omer, kotza nitle v'godol. Who is being compared to whom? So as we saw, the Novi is being compared to the Chacham. In making analogies, we say that the lesser one is compared to the greater one. I have a personal theory, for whatever it's worth. You could take it or leave it, because I want to say something that's not based on a source that I've seen, and things that are said not based on sources is something that you can certainly question. Nevuah, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, when you wanted to understand the word of Hashem, so Nevuah was communicated in a dream and riddle fashion. And the job of the Novi was to decipher that riddle. The Chacham hears the word of Hashem through the Torah. The Torah is the word of Hashem, no less than Nevuah, if not more. The Torah
Is Hashem speaking from Mount Sinai? And as the Pasuk says, it's a voice that came forth and has not ceased. It's heard through all the generations, provided you open the Torah and sit down and learn it. The Torah is not given over in riddles. The Torah is a clear piece of work. Of course, through the generations, there are more commentaries and there are machlokestim that arose. But in its essence, the Torah is not a work of dream. It was said with clarity, given from Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe, and Moshe gave it to the Nevi'im, and it went down generation, as the opening of Pirkei Avos indicates, generation after generation. After a while, its true machlokestim set in, but in its essence, the Torah is a clear piece of work. It's not something that's like a riddle or a dream that requires the same type of deciphering. Of course, the Chacham also has the tools of delving deeply into the Torah and its deeper meaning, and of course that's what our lifetime ought to be dedicated to discover the Torah in all its glorious depth. Let's continue in the Gemara. There's a comment on the side, the Nosei. This Nosei, Hemshech, it indicated, meaning it's a continuation of what we've been speaking about, with a Mivneh comment. We have geometric forms. This, we call it the volcano shape, and the double underline with the dots in it. Both of those shapes indicating some series activity. So in the volcano shape, we'll find names. What will these Rabbonim be doing? The next shape or form we have is that Teda. These are attempts, Nisyonos Lohochiach, Tebizman Azeh Nevua Lo Nitlo Min HaChachomim. Attempts to show how Nevua was not removed from the Chachomim. Each attempt as we go along will experience a rejection until we get to the final point. So if we just scan for a second, let's just recite the names of Rabbonim that will attempt to make this point. We see Abaye. Later, we see Rava. On the top of Amud Beis, we see Rav Ashi. So in the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Teda, let it be known that Nevuah was not removed from the Chachomim. How is that? The Omar Gavro Rabo Milsa, Umis Amro Mishmei de Gavro Rabo Achrino Tavosei. A particular Talmud Chacham might say something, and it will turn out that what he said is in fact the same thing that another great man also had said. So how is it that he was able to say the same thing as another great man somewhere else? That must be a function of Nevuah. Omar Rava, well, my Kushya, Rava says, how can you prove that from that phenomenon? It could be that these two Chachomim were born under the same mazel. So this effect, the mazel effect we'll call it, that can be responsible for the same comment having been made by two different parties unknown to each one. Elo Omar Rava. We're looking for a source or a phenomenon that would prove that Nevuah, not other forces, but the power of Nevuah has not been removed. Elom Arova, Teda, the Omar Gavaraba Milsa, Umis Amro Mishmei, the Rabbi Akiva Bar Yosef Kavosei. This is the famous Rabbi Akiva, that someone might say something, a Chochah might say something, and what he said turns out to be the same idea as had been expressed by Rabbi Akiva. The feeling being at this point is it would be hard to imagine that the Chacham was born under the same mazel as Rabbi Akiva. Gemara rejects. Omar Rav Ashi. Well, my Kushya, how does this prove it? Dilmo l'hom milsa bar mazlehu. Maybe with regard to this topic, they have experienced the same mazel. Elo Omar Rav Ashi. Teda. He's going to try to prove it by, of course, some type of proof that you wouldn't be able to introduce the mazel factor. The Omar Gavaraba Milsa, a Chacham might say something, Umis Amro Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Kavosei. And what this Chacham said turns out to be an oral tradition
that was passed down from Sinai. Of course, the Chacham that said it wasn't aware of it, and he said it, the same thing. How could you explain that? That must be a nevuah factor. The Gemara tries to reject this. V'dilma kesuma be'aruba. He just got lucky. Suma, a blind man in an aruba, in a room, trying to find his way out. So he feels around, gets lucky, hits the door, opens the door, and is out. So Gemara says no. When we said that the Gavur Rabba said something that turned out to be Alocha Moshe Misinai, when the Gavur Rabba, when the Chacham said what he did, he didn't just say a particular Alocha. He also gave an explanation and depth to his comment. The Lav Tam Ka'omar? Did he not offer also explanation? Rashi, the second line from the top, the Lav Tam Ka'omar B'mil Sei. Did he not, in his words, in his comment, offer reasons? The cave of the Yomar Taimo ain't Zekesuma. This is not like a blind man Shemachaving Leirid Baruba the Mikre Biama that finds his way down through the Aruba. We said before, doorway. It could be he finds his way through some kind of roof opening. Because Rashi used the expression Leirid Baruba means to descend through the opening in a roof. But it's basically the same idea of the blind man chancing upon the exit. Rather, Elosvoras Halev he habo alo b'nevua. The Chacham that said what he did was something that was a point of analysis that he had achieved through the force of nevua. V'zochol ahaskim la'ochem shmisnei was he was meritorious of agreeing with something that had been stated on Sinai and given down through the generations. We're up to the number two of this particular geometric form, and we had said earlier that these are comments opening with the phrase Miyom Shechorav. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Miyom Shechorav Beis HaMikdash Nitla Nevuah Min HaNeviim Venitna l'shoytim u'letinoikis. Very traumatic comment. Very surprising comment. Nevuah was removed from the Nevi'im. The time of the Churban was certainly a time of judgment, of punishment for Am Yisrael. Nevuah being a tremendous asset to have that available, to have Nevi'im available. But in the context of punishment, so people lose things. So Klal Yisrael lost Nevuah. However, Nevuah was given to Shoitim and Tinoikus. I once heard a hesber given by Rav Shabtai Sabato Shlita to explain this idea of Shoitim and Tinoikus being the recipients of Nevuah. Nevuah, in its original form, necessitated extreme humility. A person who had no self, who had the ability to be completely humble. The archetype of that, the paradigm of humility, of course, was Moshe Rabbeinu, was known as the Adon HaNeviim. And it was said, Lo kom k'moshe novi. There no novi will arise with the same level of nevuah as Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the extreme example of humility. But of course, we had, through the generations, many, many, many others who had achieved that necessary level of humility to experience nevuah. Bizman Hazeh, though, we don't find that anymore. Where might one find someone that lacks ego, that lacks self-awareness or self-pride? Someone who is a tinok, very young individual, a little kid could be in public and start shouting and screaming. He's not concerned about his own honor. Or kavod. That's a function of his having no ego, no self-esteem. It's a form of humility, of course. It's not necessarily an attribute he worked upon, like we would hope in the case of a true humble adult. But all the same, he has no self. Likewise, a person who's mentally incapacitated, a shoyte, sometimes translated as a fool, an idiot. We'll refer to them as someone who's mentally incapacitated. So they don't have any ego. Hence, they are human beings that are capable of being recipients of nevuah. The wall between the receiver of nevuah and the nevuah would be the wall of ego, of self-pride. These people not having that wall. As we look in the Gemara, we notice the markings, a double underline, indicating some type of idea or repetition, some idea that will be repeated or appearing in a series. We had mentioned two categories, Aleph and Beis, the Shoytim Tinokos being capable of receiving the Nevuah. To illustrate this, the Gemara brings incidents. You can see the double underline now. That's L'Shoytim Mahi. As you scan down the page, you will find, again, the double underline, Tinokos Mahi. From the Aleph, in the margin between the Gemara and the Tosfos, one sees a long marking that goes down to Rav Avdimi de Minchefa, indicating all of these lines are dedicated to illustrate these two points, the Shoytim and the Tinokos, being recipients of Nevuah. The Shoytim Mahi, the Gemara says, Ki ha demar barav ashi, Dehave koi baristika de mechuzah. He was standing in the streets, the public area, so Rashi calls the ristika the shuk, Rishus Arabim, of Mechuzah, name of a town. Shame lahu shoite de kamar. He heard a shoite proclaiming the following. Reish mesifta de molech hashta b'matzo mechatya, the next to be appointed head of the Torah Academy in the town of Mechatya, Tavyumi Chosim. He signs his name Tavyumi. Omar, Mar Bravashi, upon hearing this, said to himself, Man Chosim Tavyumi Barabonin. Who amongst the sages signs his name thusly? I know, that's me. Shma Mino, the Didi, Kaimoli Shaito. This proves that it's my hour of fortune. Come, Asa. He got up on his way to go. Ada Asa, but in the meantime, Imnu Rabbonon li Oisve l'Rav Achomi Difti Veresha. The Council of Sages decided, Imnu, like they voted upon Rav Achomi Difti l'Oisve to have him seated in the position of head of the academy. Veresha means to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Not necessarily according to Mar Bravashi's plans, but that's what they had voted upon. Kevon deshami deosa. When, however, the Council of Sages heard that Mar Bravashi was on his way to town, Shodur, they sent Zuga de Rabbonan, a pair of Rabbonan Ligabe, to him to greet Mar Bravashi, Limluchibe to consult with him. Rashi says, "Limluchi bei litol etzo rishus lahamluch es Rav Acha." Mar Bravashi was also a great man, and they wanted his counsel and his approval in the appointment of Rav Acha, as they had voted, to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Mar Bravashi saw these two, the Rabbonin, coming to him. Akvinu, he detained them by him. Hodar Shodur Zuga de Rabbonan Achrina. Well, I guess the Council of Sages didn't see their emissaries returning, so they sent another two. Akvinu Gabe, he kept them also. Adimolu Beyasora. This happened a few times until there was an assembly of 10 Rabbonan in the presence of Mar Bravashi. Heva Demolu Beyasora Posahu Vetona Vedorash. Once he had 10 people in his midst, he opened up with a legal discourse, and by doing such, he became the Rosh Yeshiva. By holding forth in this group of 10, he thereby, by that act, became the Rosh Yeshiva. The fisha ein poischin bekala pochos me'asora. There's a rule that the public drushes are not given unless there are a minimum of 10 people present. Kala referenced the public drusha. Kori Rav Acho Anafshe, Rav Acho, who was the big loser in this story, referred to himself the following phrase, the following term. Kol Hamarian Lo, Lo B'mehera Mativin Lo. Kol Hamativin Lo, Lo B'mehera Mirian Lo. Let's take a look at Rashi. In the upper part of your page, Kol Hamarian Lo, Klomar. The word Mirian has to do with something negative from the word Ra. So anyone that Ra was done to him, but here, Klomar Rashi says, we're not going to translate literally, the Klomar expression almost always indicates that. Rather, Hoyo V'nidche Hasho, since my hour of fortune was pushed off, so to speak, Lo Yamlichuni Od. That's it. Once you miss the train, there's no point of return. That's what this expression meant to him. And likewise, anyone who's the beneficiary of good fortune, so bad fortune doesn't quickly go his way. This double underlined expression is a reference we had before. Tinokes Maihi, what's the illustration of a tinokes being the recipient of nevuah? Kiha de bas Rav Chisda, havayasla bekanfe de avua. The daughter of Rav Chisda was sitting on her father's lap. Havuyasvi kamei, sitting in front of Rav Chisda, were Ravo the Romi Bar Chama, two Rabbonan. Omar Law, he asks his little girl, Man Minayu Bois, whom of these two would you like to marry? Omra Le Travaihu, I would like both. But as is well known, a woman cannot have two husbands simultaneously. Omar Rova Veano Basra, I'll be the second. Let Romi Bar Chama be first. In the event that he dies, so then I'll be second. Amar Rav Avimi de Minchefa. Koidem she'oichel odo. The yishteh. Before a person eats, drinks, yesh lo shtei levavos. He's considered as if he has two hearts. The idea of having two hearts illustrates a person who cannot think clearly. Two hearts. He has doubts. Should I do this? Should I do that? La'achar she'oichel v'shoise, ein lo Elo Lev Echod. Shenemar. Now we're gonna bring a pasuk, but the pasuk is gonna emphasize the first of the two phenomena, namely the description of a person before he eats. He has two hearts. Shenemar Ish Novuv I Lovev Uksiv Novuv Luchos. Ish, we read above, Ish Novuv. Novuv, the Gemara had just said, has to do with hollowness. That's why the Gemara brought the second pasuk of Novuv Luchos and the Targum and the Aramaic rendering of that to mean Cholil Luchin, Cholil Halal, hollow. So the pasuk that had said Ish Novuv, the hollow person, namely the person that's hollow, he doesn't have food or drink in his system, Yi Lo Bev. The expression of Yi Lo Bev is like Levovos. And that's what Rashi says. And Rashi says, Sheino Maskim Ladash Lem, he doesn't have full concentration. Okay, and as we read in the Gemara, the second pasuk was Nevuv Luchos. This is a pasuk dealing with the construction of the Mizbeach in the Mishkan, and the targum of that is Choliluchin. The Mizbeach was constructed by boards that were formed forming a frame, four sides of boards, hollow in the middle. That's the idea of Choliluchin. Luchin are boards. Holy with a hollow in them, as opposed to a solid block of wood with the mizbeach dimensions. That was not the case. Omar Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua harogil biyayin, someone who's accustomed to drinking wine, afilu liboy otum kibesula, even if his heart is sealed like the besula woman, yayin mefakho, wine has the ability to open him up. Shenemar the Tirosh Yenuvav Besulos. We saw the word Navuv as being hollow. That hollow is an opening. So Tirosh is wine. Yenuvav opens the Besulos, those that are otherwise sealed. Amar Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. We're now about to start a new sugya. To appreciate this, we'll take a look at the heading that we have on the side. Nosei Mivneh. There are triangles that appear, quite a few of them in fact. You'll notice they continue till the top of the next omelet. Six of these. They are, we noted on the side, Dugmois Shel Chalukas Nechosin Bein Achim. Division of property between brothers that are dividing an inheritance. Bekamo Mehem. In a few of these examples, echod mevakesh chelkoi al meitzar karka dekvar yeshlo. You might have a couple brothers dividing an estate. One of the brothers has a pre-existing holding of land. He owns some property already before their father died, leaving the estate. The estate of the father, let's say a large piece of property, one part of that property borders on land that one of the brothers already owns. We referred to a while ago the concept of bar mitzvah, the concept of having a common border with a field. If a person has two pieces of property that share a common border, it makes it easier for him to take care of them. He doesn't have to, if he's plowing his field, he doesn't have to haul his plow up onto some big rig, some 18-wheeler, and have it transported to some other location. He just takes the plow and continues plowing right across the border. So if one of the brothers in our case has a field already, he would naturally want to have a piece of the inheritance that borders on his property. For one of the other brothers to resist, say, no, I don't want you to have that. Take some other piece of the inheritance that's not on your common border. Would seem, superficially, of course, would seem to be evil. The expression of evil is termed in the Gemara by the term midas doim. Hence, in our markings, you'll see a double underline with dots in it. Under the expression kegoin ze koifen al midas dom. So we've noted on the side the expression kegoin ze koifen al midas dom. Examples like this, we would force the one who wants to be evil and non-yielding to in fact yield. Ze nene veze lo choser. The assumption being, let this guy benefit, you're not losing anything. The Gemara Muva Deos, the Kamo Mehamikrim Shiesh Lizchashev Boach Sheroitze Lekabel Chelkoi Al Hametzar Shekvar Yeshlo. In a number of these examples, we're going to see that we ought to take into consideration the brother that already has a piece of property. B'taina Shel Zenene Vezelo Choser, with this consideration that, hey, you know, let him benefit, you're not losing out. But of course, when analyzing each one of these cases, we'll see that there's oftentimes more depth to it than what we just said. Omar Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Pshita, chelek b'chor v'chelek pashut. If you have, let us say, two brothers to keep it simple, one is a firstborn, and the other is his brother. The firstborn, according to Torah law, receives a double portion. So, if you had a piece of property, two-thirds will go to one, in the case that they're two brothers, so two-thirds of the property will go to one, and one-third to the other. When we speak about two-thirds going to one, it's going to the firstborn. We explain those two-thirds as follows. One of the two-thirds is his chelek as a brother. That would be the chelek poshut. It's called chelek poshut. The second chelek, the double portion, the extra portion, that's called chelek b'chora. So we can say as follows, a b'chor gets two portions, they're called chelek b'chora and chelek poshut. In dividing one piece of property that was held by the father, where should the two portions be located with regard to the b'chor? He should get his two portions side by side. Two portions in one continuum. That's what the Gemara says, that the chelek b'chor and the chelek pashut, yavinon le, we give his two chalokim to the b'chor, a chad matzra, on one border. So those two portions should share a common border. Yavam mai, what's the din in the case of a yavam? The case of a yavam is a situation where, let's describe a family with several brothers. One of the brothers died, leaving no children, but leaving a widow. The Torah law suggests that one of the brothers has a mitzvah, I would say, it has an option, but more than that, he has a mitzvah to marry the almona. By marrying the almona, he also is entitled to inherit all of the property of his deceased brother. If no one would exercise the yavam option, but rather chalitza would be performed, then the halacha changes with regard to the division of the deceased property. Then it would be divided amongst all the brothers equally. Let's take a look at Rashi before we go further in the Gemara. Yavamai, a little less than halfway down. You'll note the Rashi. Hamiyabim es eshes ochiv. The surviving brother that chooses to marry the widow of his brother. Dekom tachtov lenachlo. The notel shnei chalokim. Mai. He in effect takes not only his own chelek, but he takes his brother's chelek as well. The shnei chalokim is his own. In the case that there's a father around, and there's a father's estate that will be divided, if one of the brothers did yibum, so he's entitled to whatever the brother was entitled to. So what's the din with regard to the division of the father's estate in this context, where one of the brothers married the widow of the deceased brother? Yavamai, Omar Abaye, he. It's the same as the case of Bechor. My time, why does Abaye say this? Answer, Bechor, Karye Rachmona. The Torah refers to the Yavam by the term Bechor. Rashi cites the relevant information, and we're going to see as we go on in the Gemara as well, the posuk in Devarim that's associated with the Yavam. So, once again, there was a brother that died, the second brother chose to do Yibum, now there's a father's estate that needs to be divided amongst them. This Yavam, according to Abaye, can insist that the chelek that his brother would have received, he wants to receive it together next to the chelek that he himself will receive, so that the two portions will be side by side. Continuing in the Gemara, Rava disagrees. Omar Kro, the Pasuk, regarding the Yavam says, V'hoyo ha-bechor, Pasuk describing the Yavam, ha-v'yoso ke-bechor, the experience that the Yavam has is like that of a bechor in the sense that there are to be received two portions. However, v'ein chalukoso ke-bechor, but as far as how they are to be divided on the same common border, that, no. This Rava is medayek from the expression v'hoyo ha-bechor, that his experience or his the phenomenon is like a bechor, but not in terms of the technicalities of the division. We can now look at diagram 202 in the Pirush Chai, the Sefer of Illustrations that we've been using throughout. Hahu dezovan ara amatsra debei nashia. Someone bought a piece of property that was adjacent to property owned by his father. That's Rashi's explanation of Beinashia, his father. Ki ko palgu, eventually when the father passes on, and the issue of dividing the property comes up, Amale pligu li amatsroi. So the brother that had originally purchased his own property alongside says, I want the portion that I should receive in the father's estate. I want my portion to be next to my property. Omar Rabo kigon ze kofen al midas dom. Rabo says that if any of the other brothers protest, we will not accept their protest. We'll force them to accept his request, because to resist that request, to object to such a request, would be simply an evil state. Maskei for Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef objects. He says, Amri le achi. The brothers can say, we're not just being like midas dom, we're not trying to be evil to you when we say we don't want you to have that particular parcel of land that's adjacent to your property. Why? Ma'alinon le iluya, to us, that particular parcel of land is of higher quality than the rest of the parcels. Ki nichsi debei bar merion, like the bar merion properties. There was a family that had very rich properties. They were the bar merion family. And these brothers are saying to him, for us, the property that's adjacent to your holding, that's the best parcel. Why should you get the best parcel? V'hilchasa k'Rav Yosef. And as Rav Yosef suggested, they have a good taina, they have a good claim against him, so that what will have to happen is that parcel will be divided up amongst them, and not him getting it exclusively. Another case. This is illustrated in illustration 203. Trey Arasa, two parcels of land. Atrey Nigri, that are alongside two separate irrigation ditches. We have a gentleman here that, as in the previous case, had a previous holding. And in the illustration that we have in front of us, there's an aleph indicating that particular property. So there's one property previously that was already owned by one of the brothers. There are now two properties that are going to be divided that were part of their father's estate. You can assume that the brother that had the olive piece of property would very much like to have the piece of property that's noted in illustration by the letter Beis. He would like to receive that as his portion. As far as water supply is concerned, so superficially, why shouldn't he receive that? They both have their water supplies. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabba, Goin ze Hoifin Almida Stone. And he can insist on receiving the property adjacent to his. Maskiflo Rav Yosef. To appreciate Rav Yosef's objection, the Pirush Chai provides another illustration, 204. Zimnin, the high midvil, the high low midvil. It's true they have two water supplies, but who says the water supplies are of equal quality? It could be that one is midvil, one of them continues to flow, whereas the other one dries up. V'hilchasa k'Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's objection is sustained. Hence, the insistence of the first of the brother that had his previous landholding and thereby insisting on the adjacent property is not accepted. Continuing in the Gemara, we'll be taking advantage of diagram 205 to appreciate this one. Tarti Arasa A Chad Nagra. The two properties of the father's estate that are subject to division amongst the brothers are both along the same water supply. In addition to that, we have one of the two brothers having his own property that he bought on his own. Omar Rav Yosef, Kegoin ze Koifin Almidas Dom. Here the issue of water supply drying up, it's the same water supply, so that wouldn't be the case here as in the previous example. So Rav Yosef says that in this case, the brother that has field noted as field Aleph can insist on receiving the field that's right next to him. Truth is that in this particular diagram, the Aleph is also illustrating the gentlemen that are illustrated there, and we'll get to that point momentarily. But for our purposes, the pre-owned field by one of the brothers is the field that's lowest in the diagram. Maskif lo Abaye. Abaye says, no. Motzi Omar, the other brother who did not have any previous holding, he can insist, I want that field. In our diagram, it would be, I want the middle field. Why? Bo'ino de ofish arisi. I want there to be more. The word ofish means increase. I want there to be more arisi, workers. Namely, if I get the middle field, you're going to have workers on either side, on both sides. If you had two adjacent fields, so the same worker that's working the lower field will just continue over the border and into the adjacent field. However, if your holdings are to be split with my field being in the middle, I'll be a beneficiary of having more workers on either side. And what does that do for him? So the Rashi at the bottom says, Nicholi la fushia risi totli shie lecho. It would be to my advantage for you to have two fields on either side of mine, kidei shekar v'lecharisin, thereby forcing you to have more workers to work the separate fields. My field will be experiencing greater protection. I'll be sandwiched in between your two fields with the workers, and they'll note if there are any creatures that are encroaching on the property or any robbers and thieves are coming, and they'll chase them away. So when you have both parties having legitimate claims, we don't call that midas dom. Midas dom was where zeh vezeh lo choser. The Gemara goes on and says, v'hilchasa k'Rav Yosef. Be careful now. We're not following the same pattern as we had in the Gemara before. Here the halacha will go like Rav Yosef, that it is considered midas dom to not accept the first brother's request to have field next to his pre-existing holding. Why? Afushi arisi lav milsahi. This consideration of having more workers is not a consideration. It's not a legitimate legal consideration. And the final case in this series, the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the illustration that accompanies this starts off in the Rashi himself. And in the Pirush Chai, you will find an illustration that accompanies this as well in illustration 208 and 209. The 208 and 209 illustrations are designed to assist in the understanding of Rashi when you learn Rashi inside. But as we look at the Gemara, the top line, Chad Gisa Nagra, we have one parcel of land that needs to be divided between two brothers. One side, Chad Gisa, one side, Nagra, has running alongside it an irrigation ditch, the Chad Gisa Nahara, and the other side has a full-blown river running along it, providing much more water. Now, if you divide this field down the middle, either horizontally or vertically, there will be an inequitable form of division. If, as you look at the picture in the Pirush Chai, for example, 208, if you make a Safon Dorom division, then one brother is going to have total control of the river, total benefit of the river. The upper brother, in this case, would have the river running alongside his field solely, and half the Nagra as well on the northern side, on the perpendicular side, whereas the lower brother will have no access to river and only half the Nagra. And likewise, you'll see unfair distribution in 209, where one brother has only half Nahar and the other one has half Nahar plus full Nagra. What's the solution? The Gemara says, Palgin lo bekarnazo, divide it, as is illustrated in the Rashi illustration, as a pie, if you will. But if you follow that illustration, you'll find that each brother is getting the same quality of water supply as the other brother. The Resh in the Rashi is Ruvain, the Shin is Shimon. And as you follow along, each one's getting the same type of property. That's what the division of Karnazol is. Karnazol, often referring to as a corner. And you can see that these properties form angles. With that, we've concluded our shiur for today.